Hi everyone, so I'm going to discuss some of the biggest news stories that I've seen in the last few days. Now, what's interesting is many people now are very optimistic about markets, and as per the first two articles below, some people are predicting that the S&P 500, which has now hit a record of 3,600, will go to 4,000 relatively soon and maybe go to 4,500 or beyond next year. So it might go up by 10, 20 or 25%. And on the second article, many people are predicting, including Goldman Sachs, that Asia Pacific stocks might be up by 19% next year. Now, there's a number of things to mention here. First of all, many of these same media organizations were fear-mongering during 2020. I always said that nobody can know the future. Secondly, it's a mistake just to wait for dips. Rationally speaking, whenever you have money, you should invest. It doesn't matter if you were, look at this year, for example. Of course, if you would have had 2020 vision, you would have waited until the perfect moment in March and bought loads and loads of stocks. But in reality, even somebody who bought, at the so-called height before the coronavirus, they wouldn't regret it. They're now up. So the easiest way of doing it, the most the least burdensome way of doing it, and the most rational way of doing it, is just investing every month, regardless of where markets are up or down. If markets go up a lot, rebalance a bit from bonds and vice versa. If markets go down, rebalance from bonds. So if you invest every month into stocks and bonds, you shouldn't have to worry too much about where markets will go up and down. With that being said, if you put a gun to my head and said, do you think the S&P 500 and stocks will be significantly higher in 12 months' time? I would say yes. But one of the two biggest reasons for that have always existed. And that's that historically, the S&P 500 has gone up on about 72% of years. And it's never been down over a 20-year period. So statistically speaking, the S&P 500, like most stock markets, usually do go up most years, but not every year. But the second reason, which is relatively new, but it has been like this since 2008, is that with interest rates so low, people don't have an obvious place for their money. If bonds were higher and interest rates were higher, I think that things would be a bit different. It's a bit like in 2000. People say, oh, stocks were overvalued in 2000, but they forget something quite obvious, that in 2000, after 18 years of strong stock market growth in the US, you could get about 4% just putting your money in the bank, and government bonds paid 6%. Whereas now, bonds are paying 1% or 2% in many cases, and cash pays zero. That doesn't mean you should have no bonds in your portfolio, but the point is people are searching for yield. And real estate at the moment is considered a little bit more risky just because of what's happening in the world and lack of face-to-face interaction and offices moving to remote models and so on. So I'm not saying the S&P 500 won't hit 4,500 next year. In fact, I think there's a reasonable chance it could do. But nobody knows for sure. But more importantly than that, one thing I would definitely be willing to predict is this. In many of our lifetimes, the S&P 500 will hit 10,000 or 20,000 or 30,000 even. We don't know when that will happen, but you're getting the point I'm making. It doesn't matter if you're young enough, whether you're buying at 2,500, 3,000, 3,500, 4,000, 4,500. Stocks have always hit record highs historically. In the US and many other major markets. So don't worry too much about the differences in price from year to year if you're young enough to be able to deal with all these things. And if you're older, you should have plenty of assets in bonds anyway. In terms of some of the other articles, so Tesla is going to join the S&P index in December. It'll be very interesting to see what happens to Tesla stocks after that. And beyond that, what is also quite interesting is the whole situation with China and the US, because now Biden has been elected as the president. There is the hope that the US and China will get back to better relations. At least that's the hope from Singapore and other countries in the region that heavily depend on US-China trade. Again, though, I would state that I wouldn't assume that if China and US relations get better or worse, this will automatically affect markets. China and US relations have been pretty bad for years now. But both the US and the Chinese stock market, but especially the US stock market, is higher than it was 3 years ago. So I wouldn't read too much into this. You can get some feel-good trades. So, for example, if the UK and EU have a Brexit deal or China and the US sign a deal, yeah, you might get a bit of a feel-good month or week. And it does seem like a lot of the uncertainties in the world are reducing now with the vaccine and the election, and the UK and EU will probably sign a deal relatively soon. But in the long term, things like this don't matter quite as much as we think. I mean, let's put it in a different way. In 1987, there was an absolutely awful stock market crisis. It was called Black Monday. And basically, stocks absolutely collapsed in a day. And it was one of the worst ever stock market crashes in a day. And the Dow Jones went from about 2,600 to about 1,700. You can imagine the media were really sensationalizing this. Wow, within a day or two, you know, stocks have gone down by, I don't know, 30% or whatever. But guess what? Now the Dow Jones is at 30,000. So it didn't really matter if you bought a 2,500 or 1,700, right? Likewise, this year, the media was sensationalizing, saying, oh, this is the quickest rate at which stocks have fallen ever, right? But it didn't affect anyone who didn't panic sell. Stocks have recovered even quicker than expected this time. So at the end of the day, if something happens tomorrow, let's even say we wake up tomorrow and the stock market has gone up by 20% in a day or down by 20%, it really isn't going to matter too much, probably even next year, but especially in, say, 10, 20 years' time.